half a million more than in 2000. More news at usaradio.com. Dennis Martin reporting, USA Radio Network News.
Dear Mama, my first 5 years, I'll learn a lot.
How to walk, talk,
brush my teeth.
But for food, I'm pretty much counting on you.
I don't know what's good for me.
I change the stove, drive to the store. It's up to you.
So if you need help, there's WIC.
WIC, Women, Infants, Children.
They'll tell you what's good for me, even provide food. Because what I eat my first 5 years will affect me the rest of my life.
Love always,
your child.
Get proper nutrition before it's too late. Call or visit WIC. WIC provides nutrition information, healthcare referrals, even food for women, infants, children. To find out more about WIC, our nearest location, or if you qualify for our benefits, call 1-866-WIC-INFO.
P.S. It doesn't cost anything.
Your child has you, and you have WIC. Brought to you by the National WIC Association and the Ag Council.
Thank you for listening to the TalkStar Radio Network. For the finest and informative and interactive talk radio programming, it's the TalkStar Radio Network, available live via your local radio station and on the Internet at TalkStarRadio.com. Your feedback is important to us. Email us at TalkStarRadio.com.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I am your host, Mark Levine. There is a problem in America that a lot of Americans are talking about that not too many politicians are talking about. It's the question of illegal aliens or undocumented immigrants. However you want to call it, they're people that slip into the United States and do so outside of our laws. And particularly in the Southwest, in California and Arizona and Texas, a lot of people are talking about them, whereas a lot of politicians who want the Latino vote are not. And what's interesting about this is that it doesn't seem to cut clearly across left and right lines. Most of you folks that listen to my show are progressive, but just reading the comments on the blog, I find a lot of hostility toward undocumented immigrants. There's the question of the fact that they're illegal. They should just go home because they are illegal. You write it as a slap to face to legal employees, that it harms the working poor. Some of you focus on the fact that we need to hit employers instead, and some of you focus on the cost of medical care, the cost of education, the cost in our prison population. And often, many of you point out that after 9/11, shouldn't we be worried about security? Shouldn't we be worried about our borders? But there's also a cost to deporting all illegal aliens, a cost to our economy, and a simple cost of deporting the undocumented. And to talk about that, I've invited as my guest Raj Goyal. He's the Senior Policy Analyst for Domestic Policy at the Center for American Progress, and he's the author of a new study called Deporting the Undocumented, a Cost Assessment. Raj Goyal, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
Well, as you can see, even before the show has begun, a lot of people have posted on my blog, and people, at least Americans who are legal citizens, do not seem to be too sympathetic to those that got here illegally. Let me just, address these points. First of all, the question that it's illegal. They shouldn't violate the law. How do you respond to something like that when people say we should just deport them?
Well, I think it's a perfectly natural impulse because people don't like lawbreaking, and I come from a legal immigrant family myself, and so you know we follow the proper channels, and so people who don't feel like somehow they're getting something for nothing, and so you know to the extent that things are not simply scapegoating or immigrant bashing or being xenophobic, the notion that we shouldn't reward lawbreaking I think is perfectly justified. The the problem now, of course, is that because of our broken immigration system, we now have a huge problem, and it's a crisis. It's at our borders. People are dying on the borders. States and localities are feeling the crunch of an immigration boom. It's 10 million people, growing by 500,000 annually. There's 700,000 successful border crossings a year, so we have to put our heads together to figure out what are we going to do. We wrote this paper because it, never before had anybody put an actual number on the cost of what a mass deportation policy would be.
What
and
is
I
that number?
Probably a lot of your listeners and a lot of people even post on the blog might say, well, was anybody seriously advocating kind of a mass deportation policy? The fact of the matter is there were some mainstream politicians, including Tom Tancredo, who said twice on national TV that we should find these people and deport them. Former House Speaker Newt Gingrich in February said that we should just deport all the illegals and curtail all their judicial due process rights. And so it was very important from our perspective to put a nail in the coffin and say, look, this whole notion of deportation is just financially reckless.
Rod, what is the cost?
$40 billion a year.
Tell me again, how much a year?
$41 billion a year for 5 years.
And $41 billion a year.
Perspective, because a billion here, a billion there, it gets confusing to a lot of people. The entire budget of the Department of Homeland Security is only $33 billion a year. The entire amount, the federal government in all of its spending on Homeland Security, every single penny from all 33 agencies that do anything for Homeland Security is $49 billion. And the cost of the war in Afghanistan every year is only $16 billion. So these are massive, massive,
and the cost,
eye-popping numbers that we're talking about to actually go out and find these people and deport them. And keep in mind that our assumptions were very conservative. We actually think that the real cost could be significantly higher.
Okay, the cost you've said is about $41 billion a year for 5 years. How many would that deport? There's some 10 million estimated.
10 million people currently, and our estimate said, well, look, we think that 20% of the undocumented population would voluntarily leave. A lot of people, I mean, we, you know, to some extent that there's real no hard data in the past. Thankfully, we've never tried to do this, so we don't know precisely how many people would self-deport. So we have thought we were being fairly conservative in saying 20%. And that, keep in mind, that means 2 million people, whenever the government were to announce such a policy, would up and leave. And which is a considerable amount of out-migration. So we are, in this plan, this cost estimate is saying that 8 million people, deporting those people over 5 years, so that's 1.6 million a year, would be $41 billion a year.
Okay, but you say the cost of deporting them is about $41 billion a year. What's the cost of keeping them here? People talk about education costs, talk about emergency medical care costs. And is the solution simply to throw up our hands and say there's nothing that can be done? We got to take a break, but I want you to answer those questions after the break, and I also want to take some calls. The toll-free number is 877-528-8255, 877-528-TALK. We'll be right back with your calls and Raj Goyal right after this.
What do you think of when you see a Shriner? Their unique red hats, their colorful parades? What about helping kids? Shriners Hospitals offers some of the world's best orthopedic spinal cord and burn medical care to children totally free of charge. And they combine that care with innovative teaching and progressive research programs. If you know a child they could help, call 1-800-237-5055 for more information. Shriners, having fun and helping kids.
Say, do you or a member of your family suffer from acne? Do you take prescription drugs and get little or no relief? Is your skin always dry and itching and peeling due to the side effects of chemicals and drugs? Do you have trouble looking in the mirror and being happy with what you see? Do you avoid going out in the world due to your acne? Are you spending ridiculous amounts of money with little or no results? Well, you may find relief. Relief is available to most sufferers online at healthstarproducts.com. It's guaranteed, or you get your money back, and you've got 90 days to decide. Look it up for yourself online at Health Star Products, H-E-A-L-T-H, healthstarproducts.com. Go to www.healthstarproducts.com and find out about the acne program. Find out if it works for you or a member of your family. If it doesn't, you get your money back. What some people are saying about your morning with Jim Harrington and friends.
Hello, this is Dr. Evil. I'm listening to Your Morning with Jim Harrington and Friends on my very evil radio. Okay, just somebody give me a freaking break here. I don't understand the jokes.
Well, Austin gets them. Your Morning with Jim Harrington and Friends, Monday through Friday, right here.
6 to 10 Eastern Time on the Talkstar Radio Network. From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. We're talking about illegal aliens, undocumented immigrants, people who've come into this country who were not legally allowed to come into this country but formed the backbone of some economies in the Southwest. Many are saying simply deport them all. My guest, Raj Goyal, says that's too expensive. It would cost $41 billion a year. Raj, by the way, if you want to call in, it's 877-528-TALK. Raj, before the break, I asked two questions. Let me deal with them one by one. One is, if it costs $41 billion a year to deport, what is the cost of having them here in emergency health care and education?
Well, actually, the cost, when you frame it as a cost, the immigration is a net plus and a benefit to the country from an economic perspective. You know, the New York Times ran a story just in the last few months that said there was actually $55 billion, that's with a B, in Social Security surplus that is paid into the system, most likely a vast majority of that from undocumented immigrants, that never gets reclaimed. And furthermore, there's a study that just came out this week that said immigrants use far less, actually 55% of what native-born use in health care costs.
Right, so you're saying this is interesting.
Not to deny that there is a great impact, particularly in the border states. I was on actually a show in Los Angeles last night, and people there feel very strongly about the fact that the states and localities, their schools, their hospitals, are really suffering from an influx of people. So we very much support impact aid to those areas that are feeling the burden and a redistribution of money, because it seems like the federal government sometimes comes out the winner, whereas in states and localities have to deal more with the cost. But make no mistake about it, that immigration is very much a net benefit to this country, both economically and, I would also argue, culturally. And we shouldn't let immigrants, illegal or not, become the scapegoat for our very own systemic social problems, which this administration has done a lot to create.
You know, it's interesting what you say, Raj, because I think many understand that immigration helps the economy, that our economy is stronger, that there are jobs that that people will take that make things less expensive in certain areas of the country when immigrants, legal or illegal, take them. But what you mentioned about the Social Security, it's actually something I mentioned when I did this topic a few months ago, that actually they pay into the Social Security system but don't get anything back. Can you explain how that works?
Oh, sure, because the way that most illegal immigrants work is through a false Social Security number. In some cases, they may buy even a valid Social Security number, but really the real story on this, and this is where we have common ground with a lot of people who are conservative on the issue of immigration, is that we do not support illegal immigration. I don't think anybody should. If you have an illegal status, you shouldn't be working in this country. But the problem has been that the immigration system is so fundamentally broken at the borders and with the former INS, and that many, many millions of undocumented immigrants are able to work, 6.3 million unauthorized workers, actually. So they're working under a false Social Security number. So the employers, particularly in the hotel, construction, restaurant industries, farming and agriculture and such, are deducting Social Security taxes from those paychecks because they have to. They're sending them to the federal government, and then it's going into what is a great bureaucratic term, the earnings suspense file, which is basically unclaimed money. and it just sitting there, and that's why. And as I said, in 2002 alone, there was $55 billion in that money.
Raj, I don't know if you have these numbers, but just sort of to compare raw sums, how much goes into our tax coffers a year by illegal immigrants, and how much goes out in either education or emergency medical care? Do you have rough numbers on that?
Well, no, it's very hard to say in terms of it depends, obviously, on where you are and such. I don't have national numbers, but, I mean, I do know that, as I said, immigrants use less proportionally of our health care dollars overall, nationally speaking. And in Social Security, they're obviously paying in billions that they're not reclaiming.
So clearly they contribute more and get out less.
In certain areas, in Southern California, in Arizona, in some parts of New Jersey and so on, there is a need for impact aid. But that actual dollar figure, I think, is subject to dispute and actually pretty hard to pin down precisely.
The toll-free number is 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. So, Raj, what are we to do? I mean, these people are breaking our laws. You've just said you don't support them breaking our laws. How much would it cost to tighten our borders and keep illegals from flooding across?
Well, that's the thing. There are many good proposals on comprehensive immigration reform. One of the great myths of this entire debate, and what many, many people like to say, or they like to use, are slogans and rhetoric. And of course, it's a very impassioned issue, which I and many others understand. But we've gone down this road before. Other nations have solved their immigration crises through population policies and so on and so forth. What we have right now in the Senate, yesterday morning was a historic day. This full Senate Judiciary Committee had a hearing, before them were two very robust, sophisticated proposals, one by Senators John McCain and Ted Kennedy, and another by Senators John Cornyn and John Kyle. Both of them do share some similar attributes. They're also different in important ways. But the legislative debate is just starting, and there are some key elements of what comprehensive immigration reform would be. As you mentioned, secure the border. Secondly, clamp down on worksite enforcement because you'd have to have a valid Social Security card before you could get a job.
So you're punishing the employer then?
Yeah, of course. The employer would have to verify. Right now, I mean, we're in the Stone Age when it comes to enforcing our immigration laws. In fact, as we mentioned in the report, the statistical chance of being apprehended if you're an unauthorized worker is actually 0%. Because there were 6.3 million unauthorized workers working in 2002, and something like 400 were actually apprehended and busted by the federal government. So there's clearly a massive disconnect here, and, you know, right now it's a paper-based system. I don't know if a lot of your listeners, remember when you go to a job and you've got to fill out your direct deposit form and all that, there's something called an I-9. Which validates that you're a citizen. I think most of us probably just don't even look at it because, you know, we fill it out.
And we just check the box.
We're a U.S. citizen.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's all that employers have to do. Somebody yesterday in the Senate hearing had a great analogy. It's like saying if you were paying for a good with your MasterCard, and instead of actually running and swiping the card to check if the card was good, the employer basically has to eyeball the MasterCard and say, it looks good. And then if there's a problem, the employer is on the hook. So there's a massive, massive opportunity here with technology and databases and coordination to actually clamp down on worksite illegal immigration.
Raj,
and unauthorized workers working.
We have to take another break.
There is a national security element to this.
Okay, before you get there, Raj, we have to take another break.
I'm sorry.
That's just the nature of radio. I do want to get very much to national security and the calls. 877-528-TALK. We'll be right back with Raj Goyal right after this.
There are times and occasions when only roses will do. Roses247.com searches rose growers all over the world for the season's very best and most special roses at the most reasonable prices. For this week's greatest selection of fresh, beautifully cultivated roses, chosen to convey just exactly the sentiment you want to express, get online to www.roses247.com. We've done all the screening and shopping for you. It's fast, easy, and safe to order online, just as hundreds of thousands do all the time. So for birthdays, anniversaries, special remembrances, or just to say you are very much loved, type in roses247.com. We're open around the clock at roses247.com. Roses say it best.
Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom, one of the best shows television ever offered. Now you can travel again with Marlon Perkins to the farthest reaches of the globe and study wild animals in their natural habitats. The Emmy Award-winning Wild Kingdom, now available on DVD. Order online at RetroTelevision.com and get 20 full-length episodes for $29.99. You'll see gorillas, elephants, giraffes, zebras, hippos, and more. Also memorable, three episodes featuring legendary primate researcher Diana Fossey from Gorillas in the Mist. 20 episodes of Wild Kingdom on DVD for $29.99. Go to RetroTelevision.com, or if you forget, log on to www.TalkStarRadio.com and check out our video store. Save $10 on Wild Kingdom now at RetroTelevision.com. From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. My guest is Raj Goyal. He's a senior policy analyst for domestic policy at the Center for American Progress, and he's the author of the new study, Deporting the Undocumented, a Cost Assessment. The study shows that deporting not even all illegal immigrants, but 8 or 9 million of the 10 million would cost $41 billion a year. Raj, so what is the solution? You've discussed a comprehensive plan. Tell us what that plan is and how much it would cost.
Sure. That plan are probably combining elements of those two bills I talked about earlier, Cornyn, Kyle, and then the McCain-Kennedy. I don't have a precise price tag because the legislative negotiation has just begun, but the Cornyn-Kyle bill, I think, does some very interesting things by increasing, by really massively expanding the number of border agents and worksite enforcement agents and immigration attorneys and so on to really put some capacity in the system. I don't think your listeners probably have any idea how starved the federal government is when it comes to actually enforcing the immigration law. There's just so few agents and so few resources thrown at this problem that there's no wonder that it's exploding. So enforcement is a key element, and then of course legalization in a temporary worker program is very important. You got to bring these undocumented out of the shadows because it's a security problem, and it's just not a good idea to have 10 million people in the country and you don't know who they are. So there's a lot of different proposals out there on this. The McCain-Kennedy bill would say, look, you pass a bunch of stringent tests, no criminal activity, English, you got to be English proficient, you have to have a job, basically you have to be an upstanding family. But if you pass those tests, we're going to give you a temporary worker card, which means that you can work here for 5 years. Then you can apply for a green card. You can't jump in front of anybody. We're not talking about amnesty. We're not talking about rewarding lawbreaking. We're just saying, look, we know you're here. If you're contributing and you're upstanding, we're going to bring you into the system. So those are, you know, very important elements.
Well, now, wait a minute. When you say that they wait 5 years and then they can apply for a green card, would they be behind those that are lawfully applying?
Sure, of course, because right now if you're in this country legally, like many members of my family, they can then apply, then, you know, in the lingo they call it an adjustment of status. But, you know, if you have some reason, some eligibility, some valid reason to ask the federal government to say, give me a green card, you can apply right now. But once if this temporary worker program went into existence, those people couldn't do that for 5 years. And
so there would be
a
penalty
for a green card and face the same hassles that anybody else would in terms of getting that green card. The Cornyn-Kyle bill, I should say, in all fairness, requires those undocumented immigrants to go home first. They would say, look, you pass all these tests, you get a temporary worker card for a couple years, and then you have to go home and apply. But it would still allow a path to legalization. And
now, the Bush plan allows no path to legalization. Is that right?
Well, there really isn't a Bush plan. I mean, this is a typical administration maneuver where in January 2004, just as a re-election campaign was kicking off, he made a very high-profile speech and, of course, offered not one single word of legislative language to back it up. So really there are, quote, presidential principles on this bill, but the White House has been completely MIA on this. And, you know, your listeners should know that at yesterday's hearing, both Labor Secretary Chao and Homeland Security Michael Chertoff were scheduled to testify. very important to get the administration's contributions. It was a three-panel hearing, and at the last minute, Secretary Chao and Chertoff just bagged it and didn't show.
The administration refuses to even show up at these hearings and give their views.
Oh, of course. And,
is that because politically?
Chairman Spector, a good Republican, he chastised the administration and said, well, look, if the White House isn't going to do its job, the Senate Judiciary Committee was at least going to do its job. And so I do think that the White House will eventually weigh in on this. At the top of the show, you mentioned the politics of this. The White House knows it doesn't want to get its hands dirty with a lot of messy legislative wrangling right now. But they also know that if George Bush could be the person who delivered a temporary worker program to the 10 million workers, half of whom are from Mexico, that probably bodes pretty well for his party.
Roger, when we come back, I want to talk more about the enforcement issues. You talk about the fact that our borders are hardly enforced at all. I want to know whose fault is that? Is that Bush? Is that Clinton? Democrats? Republicans? Why have we arrived at this sorry state where people can just walk across our borders? We'll be right back with more of The Inside Scoop right after this.
This is Newsbreak. The so-called Millennium Bomber has been sentenced to 22 years in prison. Ahmed Rassam was convicted of planning to detonate a bomb at Los Angeles International Airport during the 2000 Millennium celebrations. A prime suspect in the July 21st attempted bombing of London's transit system has been arrested. Three other suspects remain at large. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice says Afghanistan is no longer a country mired in an arc of crisis. She credits the Afghan people with making the change. New Englanders used a record amount of electricity today, as did the residents of New York City. New York Governor George Pataki announced today he is not seeking another term in office. On Wall Street, the Dow gained 57 points to 10,637. NASDAQ was up 10 at 2186. The S&P 500 gained 6 points, closing at 1237. There's more news at usaradio.com.
$1,995, Transnet Wireless can show you how to capitalize on the exploding public internet market. There is no technical knowledge required. You get everything you need to own and operate your own business. Call 1-800-928-1475. This amazing Wi-Fi internet system provides high-speed wireless internet access for up to 100 users at the same time. You simply receive a monthly check for all the wireless revenue generated at your location. Users without a wireless device can access the internet and their email directly from the machine, payable by cash or credit card. There is unlimited income potential. Call now for your video and information package. 1-800-928-1475. Prime locations are available now. Call 1-800-928-1475.
I'm Terry Graydon with our daily update from the People's Pharmacy on the TalkStar Radio Network.
Mosquito-borne diseases like West Nile virus have a lot of people alarmed and interested in insect repellents. The most effective ingredient is DEET, a chemical that was developed by the U.S. Army in 1946. But how safe is DEET? Questions about toxicity have dogged DEET for decades. Now a new report from Duke University suggests that frequent use of the insect repellent may affect neurons in the brain. In this study, DEET was put on rats' skin in doses roughly approximating human exposure. The rats performed much worse than unexposed rodents in tests requiring strength, coordination, and muscle control. A pharmacologist who conducted the study concluded that people should be cautious about using insect repellents in high doses and should not apply DEET to infants. Young children may be more susceptible to reactions, and so parents should be sparing in their use of insect repellents. This is Joe Graydon and the People's Pharmacy on the TalkStar Radio Network.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. There are some 10 million undocumented immigrants in the United States, also called illegal aliens. My guest, Raj Gupta, for Domestic Policy at the Center for American Progress, says the cost of deporting them would be $41 billion a year. But our borders are practically open. It's definitely a security problem. Raj, how did our borders get so open? I mean, is this just American borders have always been this way, or is there less enforcement now than there used to be?
You know what's interesting is that a study came out that showed that our money that we've spent at the border over the last 10 years has actually tripled. And instead of actually helping the problem, the death rate has gone up, the cost per apprehension has gone up, and illegal immigration is exploding.
So we're doing
what
it wrong?
What that shows is that you just can't jack up security at the borders and then think that all the worksite issues aren't going to play a role. Everything kind of works in concert so that when there aren't good economic conditions in Mexico and people know that they can get over the border and get a job in an industry in Las Vegas or Texas, they're going to come. And then if they know there's no worksite enforcement and then there's not effective border enforcement and so on, it just kind of multiplies. I think that this Bush administration should be roundly criticized for the fact that the Intelligence Reform Act, the post-9/11 Commission bill, it called for 2,000 more border agents, and then the Bush budget only funded 200. Increasing the number of border agents, even though it would be still a drop in the bucket, is still needed because the more of the problem that we fix now, then the less that we have to solve in the future. So the administration now has been quite lax and hasn't really taken the problem very seriously. The Undersecretary for Homeland Security the other day was praising the Minutemen as something that they wanted to look at from a policy response.
I was just going to get to that.
If vigilantes, right. You've got this guy at Homeland Security is suddenly thinking the federal government is so weak-kneed in dealing with this problem that they want to have the citizens volunteer to do the job that the federal government should do.
Well, I mean, why not deputize them and say, look, we're not paying for it. You want to do it, we'll train you and let you do it.
Well, A, because it doesn't make any sense. I mean, it sounds good, but there's a reason we have trained law enforcement. There's a reason that we don't deputize other people to say run around this neighborhood and arrest anybody you think's a lawbreaker. There'll
be some racial profiling, I'm sure.
Well, there's a lot of racial profiling elements. I mean, you realize those Minutemen, a lot of them, one of them actually was, caught with a mocking T-shirt of somebody who just crossed the border, instead of giving them water or trying to help out and then perhaps even alerting law enforcement, they went over and took a joking photo of them. I mean, this is not serious policy. This is not a serious response to a very serious problem. And so what really needs to happen is that the federal government and the states need to get serious about it. The Congress needs to appropriate real funds for enforcement, but again, it has to be done in a comprehensive way so that there's a path of regularization for the undocumented so that we work on economic conditions here and in Mexico and in other countries where people are coming from. And these proposals in Congress will do that if we could just get out of some of this vicious right-wing rhetoric, and that's why we did this study.
Let me ask you this.
As I said before, this is the nail in the coffin for all these people who think, let's just deport them. If they basically want to break the bank of the United States over a policy that won't even solve the immigration problem, they can do it. But I think most people will think otherwise.
Well, let me ask you this. In terms of security, pure security, which is a really kind of a separate or at least a separable issue from the question of immigration, the Mexican border is fairly easy to cross. The Canadian border, I would suspect, is even easier to cross. And we do have people that arrive by planes and boats. Is the problem overwhelmingly at the Mexican border, or, for example, if we fear terrorists coming in, might they not come through Canada where the border is even less defended?
No, sure, and I mean, I wouldn't really agree with that premise that immigration and security are separate. I mean, national security is a big part of immigration policy, which is why I hope this administration and this Congress take it seriously and get serious about negotiating and enacting reform. The Canadian border is a very serious problem. A lot of your listeners may remember in 1999 the Millennium bombing plot was found out of the Pacific Northwest. The Homeland Security issues, they are, of course, greater than immigration, but immigration policy will impact them. There are reports, I don't know if they've got a lot of hard evidence behind them, but there are reports about people with terrorist ties who use the southern border with Mexico, even though they're not from Mexico, but they're from a third-party country who will then use that porous border to come over and infiltrate the country. One thing to keep in mind, though, is that on 9/11, all those 19 hijackers all came here using legal documents. So the problem
all legal documents from Saudi Arabia or other countries like that. How did
that's right. And
as a visitor's visa,
valid visas.
They were just tourist visas mostly.
a lot of them are student visas. A lot of them actually dealt with these flight schools. So
let me sum up then.
I believe most of them were actually were student visas. So the problem is that, you know, and then the federal government, remember, most infamously, 6 months after 9/11, mailed an approved visa to Muhammad Atta.
Right.
Who had been, you know, already, you know, rotting in the afterlife.
So, Raj, let me ask you this. Raj.
Indeed, he did on September 11th. So, I mean, the federal government needs to get serious about coordinating and about really making its processes work.
So, Raj, I just want to sum up your solution here. So it's more border agents, stricter visas for anyone to come in, people who do come in illegally, or at least those that are here now, should be able to work legally for 5 years and then apply for a green card and get behind legal immigrants in doing that. Is there a fine that you propose for them as well? Or?
Yeah, the McCain-Kennedy bill does have a hefty fine of several thousand dollars, which, again, depending on who you are, to a lot of families, that's a lot of money. And so a fine is an important part of that. And the other key piece of this, Mark, is that you need a pathway for future immigrants to come in here legally. So when you were asking before, how do we make the problem at the border go away? Well, if you've got a million people who are trying to cross the border, one of the main reasons they're doing it is that there's no legal way for them to come to America. Now, America has a right, and we should, you know, regulate how many people we let come in to be a foreign worker. And I say that as a child of two foreign-born workers who came to this country 35 years ago. But at the same time, the current caps and allowances for people to come legally are ridiculously small. In
Roger.
Some industries, it's like 5,000 people, even though there's 6 million working. So if you create a program for, McCain-Kennedy calls for 400,000 visas, so that if you were in Panama or Mexico, you wanted to come work, and you knew that there was a field or an industry or a construction site that would give you a visa, it needs to be legal, so that way they can get a legal visa to come and work on that construction
site. Roger, I want to go to the calls if I can. Now, we've got Mike from Los Angeles. Mike, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hello, Mark.
Hello.
Yeah, this is a subject that's near and dear to my heart. A couple of things. Number one, what's the matter with Tom Tancredo's plan, which is a guest worker program, I mean, a pure guest worker program, whereas you come in, you do not bring your family, you're only here 1 year of every two, and when you're finished, you go home. And it doesn't bring all of the problems that this massive flood of illegal immigration has brought us. I mean, especially those of us living in Southern California, and it's affecting the rest of the country at a rapid rate.
Let me ask Raj. Raj, what's wrong with Tancredo's plan?
It won't work because, frankly, I mean, it sounds good, again, in theory, but the notion that, I mean, how many of you would go work if you couldn't take your family with you? You know, families are important. One of the great principles of American immigration policy for 200 years has been family unification. And one of the biggest backlogs right now in the green card processing has been backlogs for for family members who want to come in.
So, Raj, when you say it won't work,
if you want to get a real hold on immigrants working here illegally, the Tancredo plan is a sure path to disaster.
So, Raj, when you say it won't work, it's because no immigrants will actually sign up for the Tancredo plan. They'd rather work illegally than with the plan. Is that what you expect?
Well, that's part of it, is that you have to have it be, you have to actually have to have it. I mean, it sounds good, again, in theory, where you say, okay, why don't you come here as a guest worker and then you stay for a certain amount of time, don't bring your family, and you just come and contribute. Well, people are humans, and they come and they put down roots, and then they want their brother to come over, and a lot of that has made America great over the years.
Okay, I know, Raj, that Mike wants to say some more. Let me take a quick break, and then, Mike, I'll give you heads at it again. If you want to call in, 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. We'll be right back after this.
There are a lot of people out there making claims of miracle cures for this or that, but they're usually anonymous. Margie Garrison, who they call the Arthritis Lady, gives you her name and tells you her story. In July 1979, Margie was amazed when her doctor uttered the words, "Arthritis is the easiest disease there is to cure." What a difference from what she'd heard for 43 years, that there was no cure for arthritis. We don't have time here, but to learn the secret Margie learned, get to a computer and log on to healthstarproducts.com. It's guaranteed or your money back, and you have a full year to decide. Look it up for yourself online at healthstarproducts.com. HealthStar, H-E-A-L-T-H, HealthStarProducts.com.
I've been reading online about a drug-free home treatment program that suggests you can be asthma-free. It's a program designed by an ex-asthmatic who claims she cured her own asthma. It's based on a little-known but astounding clinical trial at a major hospital. What would you give to be free of asthma, asthma symptoms, and sinus and allergy symptoms, to breathe easily, freely, naturally, in a relaxed way? This drug-free method, proven by clinical trials, is guaranteed or you get your money back, and you have 90 days to decide. Get to a computer now and go to HealthStarProducts.com. That's www.HealthStarProducts.com. Read about the asthma program, and if it doesn't do what it says it'll do for you, you get your money back, and you've got 90 days to decide. Go to HealthStarProducts.com.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We're discussing illegal immigration. Now, everyone seems to agree it's a problem. What we disagree is the solutions. My guest is Raj Goyal. He is the Senior Policy Analyst for Domestic Policy at the Center for American Progress and the author of a new study, Deporting the Undocumented, a Cost Assessment, where he says it would cost more than $40 billion a year to deport 8 or 9 million of the 10 million immigrants. I have a caller on the line, Mike from Los Angeles, who suggested Tom Tancredo's plan of having a guest worker come in without their families. And Raj's response is nobody's going to sign up for that kind of a plan. It will have the same problem we have now. Mike, the ball's yours.
I completely disagree. I think that if you take Tom Tancredo's plan and you couple it with not deport, you don't have to deport illegal aliens. What you do is you go after the employers and you go after them mercilessly and aggressively, and you shut down a Tyson Chicken, or you go after a ConAgra or a Monsanto. And
or Walmart, for that matter.
Yeah. Well, Walmart, that was window dressing. But if you seriously start going after those people that employ illegal aliens, the market will dry up very quickly, and the situation will correct itself.
Mike, I think Raj would agree with you on that. Is that right, Raj?
Yeah, I wholeheartedly support cracking down on illegal workers who are allowed to work unauthorized. But I will suggest that it is much, much, much harder than you might think. Cracking down on ConAgra and Walmart and all that sounds good, but keep in mind the resources problem I was telling you. 440 immigrants were apprehended out of 6.3 million just last year. So the federal government and states and localities are coming at this from a very weak position. And furthermore, I would suggest that the history has shown that you cannot do these things in a vacuum. I've heard this argument many, many times. Just crack down on the employers, and therefore it'll just solve itself. Well, there's no real evidence for that.
But Raj,
it hasn't been tried.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Raj. I mean, if we've only done 400
certain sectors, there are periodic crackdowns. In fact, I know you're from Los Angeles. Last night I was on that on the John and Ken show, and they were saying, well, you know, they had a crackdown, and about 400 people were arrested, and then a couple thousand more went into hiding. Well, that's exactly the point. A lot of people will just go into hiding.
Raj, let me ask you this. Raj, hold on.
Like a balloon.
Raj.
You're going to press on one, and then it's just going to expand and go into the
shadows. Raj, let me ask you this. If only 400 out of 10 million or at least 6 million illegal immigrants were apprehended last year, that sounds to me like we're not even trying. I mean, how many programs, how much money is actually going to focusing on the employers? How many are being fined?
It is an absolute drop in the bucket, and you're right. And again, with the caller, I would agree that cracking down on worksite enforcement, doing worksite enforcement is important, but again, as part of a holistic program. And I think most of the folks who have been in these, who have looked at this problem, would agree with that, because you will just drive things down further into the shadows. So the way is to actually create a temporary worker program that does not reward lawbreaking but is robust enough that people actually sign up for it and become out of the shadows. The worst thing we have right now is a system that incentivizes everybody to stay in the shadows because there aren't enough legal channels to come to this country, and there's no fear of getting arrested if you work illegally.
Let me give Mike a chance to speak if I could, Raj. Go ahead, Mike.
Sure. Well, the problem is, and let's just be honest about this, the Republican administration we have in place has no will to do this. They like it is, because their contributors like it is. They like the slave labor. They like the under-the-table labor. I mean, I heard a report this morning. I was listening to Paul Harvey, as a matter of fact. I mean, summer jobs for high school students and entry-level jobs are drying up all over the place because they're all being given under the table to illegals. And this is the status quo, and it's what the Bush administration wants, because it's what their contributors are paying them to keep in place.
I mean, I disagree with the use of the phrase slave labor, but I would most certainly agree with the fact,
Roger,
that the administration has been asleep at the wheel, and that there are certain interests in the Republican Party.
I think it's a conscious effort. And when I say slave labor, I mean $3 an hour.
Yeah, I mean,
$5,
Raj,
an hour.
I mean, the Republicans like the fact that it's very cheap labor for their big business, and Democrats obviously have a lot of Latino support, and they like that as well. Isn't it true, though, that it is harming the working poor, the American citizens who are, you know, I mean, labor unions. I'm doing a show tomorrow on the trouble with organized labor.
I saw that.
Aren't they being harmed by this mass of illegal immigrants?
Well, it's interesting that you bring up the labor issue, because the two unions that split from the AFL-CIO this week have been absolutely in front on the issue, saying that we do need to go out and organize immigrants. They view illegal immigrants or legal immigrants as their greatest growth potential, and SEIU in particular has been amazing at cobbling together a diverse coalition and lobbying very hard for comprehensive immigration reform, so the politics aren't as convenient as you might think. There is evidence that at the low-skilled wage level in the low-skilled job market, there might be a depressive effect on wages. But generally for the economy, even these 10 million undocumented and 6.3 million unauthorized workers are saving us from a lot. The Social Security surplus would be a lot smaller if it weren't for illegal workers. A lot of taxes wouldn't be as big as they were. So you know, this issue does raise some complications in terms of actually what would happen if you do this kind of crackdown.
Raj, Mike's point about entry-level jobs, do you think it affects people who are just doing their first job, teenagers working in the summer, things like that?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of disputed evidence about that. It's very easy to argue by anecdote to say that, you know, oh, when I was young, we had they had a lot of these jobs out there. I mean, the fact of the matter is the American economy can absorb and is expanding and can grow more jobs and can incorporate these workers. But I think
you don't live in Southern California, do you?
No, I don't live in Southern California.
Mike, tell us about what's going on in Southern California.
I mean, when I first moved here 15 years ago, for instance, all the janitorial jobs in the high-rises around town were done mostly by black people, and they were $12 to $15 an hour. Well, actually, they were like $11 an hour jobs. They are now done mostly by illegals, and they're $5 and $6 an hour jobs. It's wiped out an entire... I've heard this.
Yeah,
We have to take a break for both of you. I do want to continue this discussion. I think it's a great discussion. If you want to call in, we do have a few minutes left. 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. We'll be right back after this.
Television documentary ever produced was Victory at Sea, which was as noted for the swelling musical score by Richard Rodgers as the amazing footage from World War II gathered from over 13,000 hours of footage from U.S., British, German, and Japanese navies. RetroTelevision.com offers you 26 episodes of Victory at Sea, stunningly reproduced on DVD for just $19.95. The original 26 episodes are presented uncut with every note of Richard Rodgers' original score for just $19.95. To take advantage of this offer, go online to www.retrotelevision.com. That's R-E-T-R-O, retrotelevision. You got to spell out television.com. or go to TalkStarRadio.com to get your set of Victory at Sea episodes for just $19.95.
Big Brothers Big Sisters presents 100 Years of Helping Kids.
Today, Kyle and his big brother Justin,
hello,
hi,
are here to share some stuff we've learned.
With kids, it's not always what you say, but how you say it.
Hey, Kyle, you want to go to a foreign film festival?
Nah, that's boring.
Okay.
Hey, Kyle, you want to go to a foreign film festival?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
From time to time, a kid may double dare you.
Wow, that looks heavy. Bet you can't lift it.
Are you serious?
I double dare you.
Okay.
See? I told you. Uh-oh.
Moments like these happen every day.
Making a big difference in the life of a child. To find out the many ways you can help support kids in your community, call 1-888-412-BIGS or go to BigBrothersBigSisters.org.
That's BigBrothersBigSisters.org.
This message brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
Until next time.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
When discussing the issue of illegal immigration, a good liberal like me is very much torn because I do see that it undercuts the working poor. I do see, as my caller, Mike from Los Angeles, is saying, how it lowers wages. On the other hand, I do know that my ancestors and the ancestors of just about everyone in this country that didn't arrive on slave ships were from immigrants, and I respect that immigrants do contribute to the American economy. It's a tough, tough question, and I have to say I do think the solution is more to focus on employers, who I'm far less sympathetic to than the workers themselves. Raj, let me ask you this. Is this something new in our history? I mean, we've always had massive amounts of immigration. Is it different now from the way it was, say, at the turn of the century?
Not really. I mean, these things do happen periodically in cycles. The 86 Act, of course, happened because there was a big issue that had been building up for the 10 to 20 years before that. We are, though, I should note, at a historic level. This is once-in-a-century levels that we're seeing of increase in immigration. And, of course, with globalization and technology and so on, the problems are new. But the fundamental issues are not. It's how do we assimilate? How do we deal with this problem? And let me suggest in a global way to the way you described it as a liberal being torn, I don't really think you should be, because the way that when we're talking about the depressive effect on wages or what the caller is talking about with African Americans who were used to have these jobs, we are all about in comprehensive immigration reform lifting the work standards for everybody. Everybody should have labor laws that apply to them. The working conditions for everybody, the working poor, the middle class, should be elevated. Right now,
okay, but Raj,
I completely agree that illegal immigration lets workers and employers get away with a lot of what they shouldn't. And so if you actually just had a regulatory and legal scheme that provided channels for these people, then you would get out a lot of, you wouldn't have all this exploitation, and everybody would kind of be lifted up at the same time.
Let me give Mike a last chance to speak. Go ahead, Mike.
Once again, I disagree with your guest. In the past, it was difficult to immigrate because there was a huge ocean that separated us from Europe or from Asia, for that matter. I mean, the problem is we have an uncontrolled flood across an easily penetrated border, and I don't think there's a precedent for it. And my question is, and this is the question I ask everyone who advocates your caller's, your guest's position, at what point do we stop? At what point do we turn the floodgate off? I mean, how many are you willing to take? Are we willing to just open wide up and let anyone come who wants to? I think it's a huge problem.
These are actually some fairly easy answers. I mean, you turn the spigot. Everybody wants to turn the spigot off because nobody wants illegal immigration. So if you enacted comprehensive immigration reform, ideally you would dry illegal immigration.
Realistically, it's never going to go to zero.
But you'd hope
you're legitimizing everyone who's.
Yeah, I mean, wouldn't that encourage
and
people?
Waving a white flag saying, "Come on!"
Wouldn't that encourage more people to come in?
Not at all. That's not at all what's going on. And I mean, I respect your views, and I think you want to think about this seriously. And if you actually increase, if you have future flow, so that if you could get to this country legally, if you were in Mexico and there was a work site you could get a visa for, that would cut down on illegal immigration. If you did effective things at the border, that would cut down. You know, there was a program called the Bracero program that I'm sure you in Southern California should be aware of. And that Bracero program has really gone down in history. industry because it was so exploitative of these workers. It was in the 50s, and they came, and they were basically indentured servants, and
Roger,
they brought them over from Mexico.
I'm going to have to cut you off because...
dry up illegal immigration.
I'm going to have to cut you off because we're out of time. We're not going to resolve this issue here. Mike, thank you very much for your call and your passionate views. I'm in between, actually, Mike and Raj on this one, but where I definitely agree with Mike is the way we need to, and I think Raj too, is that we have to press down on employers. It seems to me that it's a lot easier to cut down on demand than to cut down on supply. There always will be people coming across the borders. Sure, I believe in strict border enforcement. I believe in a lot more border agents, but I think if we cut down on employers, and make them, if they don't pay a minimum wage, if they don't pay decent wage, if they hire illegal immigrants, put the employers in jail. I think, to me, that's the best way to stop illegal immigration. Raj Goyal, thank you very much for coming here on the Inside Scoop. Thank you, Mike. Tomorrow, we're discussing the labor movement.
I heard about this company dumping toxins in local rivers, and I called their executives to say stop. But I never got through to anyone except secretary after secretary. In the meantime, the rivers are being destroyed, birds and fish are dying, and the local kids are getting sick with cancer. So I organized a huge protest, and we actually got the company shut down. And everyone starts celebrating until we realize that half the town's now unemployed. The welfare offices can barely handle the overload of homes, and to top it all off, the rivers are still...